Amazon 5-Star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Eva Longoria. Tonight's review, sports briefs.
Oh boy.
Where do I even start with these performance mesh boxer briefs? These boxer briefs are like a magician's trick. You know the one where you go, where did that rabbit come from? So if you're looking for underwear that not only performs well, but also gives your package the attention it deserves, then look no further. 5 stars, Nicolicious. Shop the perfect gift this holiday season on Amazon.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Ukraine conflict. To Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine, Anatol Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He is in Kyiv and looking at the terrain on the website London Telegraph. I puzzle. There's a photograph of rescue workers for survivors of a Russian missile attack in western Lviv region, which is way past Anatol, where Anatol is in Kyiv. Lviv is at the western border with Poland. Anatol is not exactly central, but north central, Kyiv. The fighting, the ground down stalemate, is in the east, the Dnieper River Valley, the Donbass. However, massive hypersonic missile strike was, says Russia, retaliation for cross-border attack. The massive missile and drone attack that killed at least 6 people in cities across Ukraine Thursday morning, in other words, within these last hours, was retaliation. The defense ministry in Kyiv said its forces had carried out, no, the defense ministry in Moscow, beg pardon, had carried massive retaliatory strikes on Ukrainian infrastructure. Anatol, a very good day to you in Kyiv. This massive missile strike, did you hear it in Kyiv? What does Kyiv look like with these threats? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. I must confess, I slept through it. You know, it was at night, and I slept through it completely. I heard nothing. You have to understand, you see, I mean, Kyiv was, obviously until the war, a city of more than 4 million people. It's very big. Something can happen in one part of it, and you hear nothing at all from another. But, I mean, I think the... You know, there's a certain degree of exaggeration from all parties involved in this war by now, because the Russians obviously try to talk up, I mean, also obviously for domestic consumption, the scale of their attacks. But this wasn't truly a massive attack. It was a sporadic one on different parts of the country. Which, alas, you know, killed a certain number of people. But all the indications are that the Russians are trying to, you know, now have a strategy of trying to disable Ukraine's electricity production. But they're having very limited success. There was no electricity cuts in Kyiv as a result of the latest Russian strike. A lot of their drones and some of their missiles are being shot down by the Ukrainians. There's well attested, I think, by now, proof of the inaccuracy of a lot of the Russian attacks. So that I wouldn't say that this offensive of the Russians against Ukrainian infrastructure, quite frankly, is going at all well. The Ukrainians have also become, as you can imagine, very good at repairing damaged, power stations and electricity lines. If Putin's plan is to destroy the Ukrainian economy by knocking out Ukrainian electricity, I would say he's being very optimistic.
I want to go to life in Kyiv, because it's difficult to imagine the daily life of people carrying on. I see photographs now and again during an attack or during a threat of an attack when the air raid sirens go off. People go into the subways. You've ridden the subways. What are they like these days? Is it a community spirit?
oh, something very sad happened to me in the subway today. And possibly, I hope it was because I was evidently a foreigner, not because I looked old. This girl got up and offered me her seat. And I said, no, I'm not as old as that. Please, please. And went back to hanging on the strap. But the subways are mostly still Soviet era and work admirably. No problem at all there, as long as the electricity works, of course. But the thing is, you see, the population, you have to understand, it was obviously very, very different here at the beginning of the war, when, Russian forces got as far as the northern outskirts of Kiev and were trying to capture Kiev and overthrow the government a year ago, from February to April. But now, of course, the fighting on the ground has moved a very long way away. Something I think that people, a journalist this morning was complaining to me, a British journalist, that his editors don't quite seem to understand that Ukraine is a country of 240,000 square miles. It's 800 miles long. So his editor was telling him, but surely you can jump in a car and drive to the Donbass and come back and file this evening. Well, no, you can't. That is a very long journey by car, and obviously. But the point is, you see, that it's a strange mood here because there are these intermittent attacks, but in between, life feels very, very normal, frankly. People doing their shopping, going to restaurants, and so on. There is a compared to previous visits of mine, as you can imagine, there's a certain sense of there being fewer people, because so many of Ukrainians have left. Though actually to Kiev, a good many have come back again, it seems, from outside. They haven't, of course, gone back. I mean, remember, all I've seen so far is Kiev. It's obviously very, very different the closer you get to the front line.
Yes, we're given fog of war on the front line, which is why I hold off reading those headlines. I do want to attend, though, to life in Kyiv as representative of the country. You say the restaurants are filling up. There's no particular curfew that you've mentioned.
No, there is a curfew. There's an 11 o'clock curfew.
Okay, there is a curfew.
Which is strictly enforced from 11 to 5, I think it is here.
What about the shops? Are they full of goods and food and everything is in adequate supply, no black market? Do you see anything like that?
The thing is, if it comes to food from outside, or at least it depends, I didn't see many oranges and bananas around. But you see, Ukraine produces itself most of its own food, all the basics, not just bread and meat, but also fruit. And then, of course, I came in by train, and the trains from Europe are all still running. So there's a great many Polish goods in the shops here, for example. And the farmers' markets are full of goods. So yes, I mean, I wouldn't describe life as fully normal, but this country is not on the, shall we say, anywhere near being starved into surrender.
No, it doesn't sound like it. In fact, I want to generalize. We're looking at a population with spring near at hand, settling in for a long war. Do you get that mood in Kyiv? We can sustain this.
Very much so, but of course, in the end, it depends on what happens on the battlefield. But certainly, as far as the ability of the and willingness of the population in Kyiv to go on you know, enduring the war. I think that's very, very clear so far. One should never.
Let's talk about ending the war, or at least a ceasefire. Since last we talked, there have been no dramatic developments. I do see that Lula da Silva in Brazil has restated his volunteering to arbitrate because he has not gotten himself involved in either sanctions regime, and he does trade with Russia, so he believes he has credibility on both sides. There was that conversation between Mr. Blinken and Mr. Lavrov in Delhi, and Delhi has been often I hear Delhi mentioned as a possible place for a ceasefire negotiation to take place with Mr. Modi supervising. Do you hear any other offer of diplomacy in Kyiv?
No, not here. I only just got here yesterday, so who knows? But I think the general mood is, as far as I can see, that Ukraine will try to make, at the very least, one more huge effort to, you know, to win this on the ground. Of course, if that fails, and you have, you know, prolonged stalemate along roughly present lines, then who knows in the longer term? Because, of course, you know, the casualties have been enormous on both sides. But if it ever does come to diplomacy, then I think that India is a very likely and certainly plausible candidate, because of course the key thing about any intermediary is that the country should be trusted by both sides, and India of course is not quite unique but certainly very unusual in the world in being a major power which has good relations both with Moscow and with Washington, and actually with Ukraine as well, pretty much the only major country that, you know, that is in that position. So I think India could play a very positive role in future.
I'm speaking with Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He's in Kyiv in wartime, and we're addressing the question of, can the Ukrainian population sustain the deprivation, the threats, the violence, the casualty rate? And the answer looks to be yes. So when we come back, we're going to look at NATO. NATO's preparing for the long-term conflict with Russia. And the Black Sea Basin is adjusting to a new world in which Ukraine is going to be a constant source of anxiety for other states, especially the bordering states of Moldova and Romania. I'm John Bennett.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.